Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Fandom Access.
I am your ever faithful host, AJ.
Greetings and salutations. And looky, looky, both my co-hosts are already here. Yay!
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, guys.
You missed me yelling
everyone.
At Alexa to shut up. Hi. She kept telling me to take my pills. I'm like, I know, I took them. Shut up. But anyway.
How is everyone this week?
Good.
I'm doing okay.
Good.
How are you?
Good. Pretty good.
Good.
Nothing exciting to tell, but, you know, mostly I watched sports for the past week.
Sick.
So.
All I have to say to that is sick.
I've watched a load of tennis and a bit of football. And a little baseball. It's weird having every sport be on all at the same time. There's just like one sports season, and it's now. But I did manage to watch. It's kind of weird having the U.S.
Open. You
can see
how I follow it, right?
And football and the NBA playoffs and everything happening together, yeah. But I did get time to watch all of our crazy things this week. And so I don't know what I saw some text going back and forth. I don't know what you guys decided to do for the schedule tonight. What we want to talk about first.
The only thing that all three of us
watched.
Raised by Wolves.
Raised by Wolves.
Yeah.
Raised by boredom. I mean Wolves.
Raised by robots. So I'm going to go first and say that the main part of the show, which is the children raised by robots, continues to be like recede for me and be less interesting. And the Monty Python, what did they call it? I forget the name of their religion.
Mystery. I don't know how to say it.
The sun worshippers are trying to get into a rock, which totally reminded me of, what's it called? The Pandorum from Doctor Who? You know, when Doctor
that
Who was locked in
that. I did not think of at all. But
when he was locked in there for like a billion years?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
In that, it was like a square made out of stone that Doctor Who was locked inside. And it reminded me of it. But to me, that storyline, even though it is not a storyline really and doesn't really have a point, those characters are a little more interesting to me. While the robots and the children have a point and a point of view and like a goal, it was somehow less interesting to me. I'm marginally more invested in Marcus and Susan, the imposter religious folk. That's my overall how I felt this week. How did you guys? AJ, you said you thought it was boring. Kind of agree.
AJ.
Look, he doesn't have anything to say. He doesn't have anything to say beyond that. He just said boring and he's done. Maybe we lost him.
Back.
Jamie, did you rewatch it?
No, I did not rewatch it because I was watching other screeners. But I would say this episode maybe wasn't, I mean, I know I like it more than you guys do to begin with, but I guess maybe wasn't as interesting. I kind of like both stories. I mean, I get what you're saying. The other one definitely feels like it has more going on, though. What I found interesting about this is the idea that Marcus or whatever his name really is, what you want to call him, that he is perhaps hearing things, and we don't know if it's real, but that perhaps some of what they believe in may be, I don't want to say true, because obviously this is not real, it isn't, you know, I don't want to say not real religion,
mm-hmm.
but you know what I mean, but in their world, that maybe it's true, and that, you know, he may be hearing a part of this now, and they were, like, so against it, and now after everything happened, that maybe he's converting, I don't know, I find that idea kind of interesting. I was glad the other guy was killed. And at least, I got to say, at least Marcus doesn't make people carry him, which was so annoying. We talked about
that
before.
Oh, my God,
that's
so ridiculous, right? Like, they have the ability to travel through space And you have to carry him like Cleopatra, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah.
But like, at least
for me, I was thinking, wait, are his legs broken? Is that why? I'm like, no, he can totally walk. He's just
Yeah. So I think he's a better leader. I did like kind of how that whole thing went down with him becoming the leader, though. But at least now, like, they're moving in a smarter direction, I guess, by actually going after and looking for the children. Now I said hearing things maybe, but the whole thing with, like, him hearing about killing his wife or whatever when he was having sex with her and all this stuff, that was just bizarre and weird, and I could have done without. So we'll go with that. But the fact that rapist guy is saying, like, that God or whatever told him to do it, I don't know. It makes me wonder if maybe whatever, if it's possible that, like, what they hear or think they hear, that maybe it's, like, somebody tricking them or something. I don't know. Or that guy could have just been crazy. I mean, and, you know, or used his excuse and said, this God told me to do it. I don't know. But I kind of found some of that storyline kind of interesting, finding out, like, what's real and what's not. And I think it was smart they kind of used him as bait because they don't care what happens to him.
Wait, what? Which guy?
The guy, what the heck is he? The rapist guy.
I don't know
what his name is.
I'm not aware that I know who raped her in The Sim.
Oh, wait.
Which guy is it? Are you ahead? Are you an episode ahead?
But that already aired.
You're an episode ahead.
Nobody can help me. I'm an episode ahead. I apologize. So just ignore everything I said, but at least I can't get in trouble. Because it's already aired, so I'm okay.
Right. And so next week, so in the next episode, which we are not covering tonight, the story of Tempest being raped is revealed.
Well, it's just, I think you're just supposed to assume it. I don't know they actually say or not.
Well, she has said that she was raped in The Sim, but we don't know who.
The rapist guy is in the episode. Let's just put it that way. And you just kind of, I don't know if they actually outright say he's the one that did it, but I don't know. They didn't talk about two rapist guys, so I'm assuming it at any rate. But so let me scan through and see what happened in this one so I can shut up. But
that's
he did kill him, though, because you seem to know that, so.
Well, we saw in this episode that Marcus kills, I forget his name, the guy who was the leader, the high priest, whose name also is like a Shakespearean, like,
I think his name was
like a Caesarish name. And he ends up killing him by, like, putting his head up against the Pandoricum.
Yeah, no. Okay, so I didn't actually say too much because you didn't know what the hell I was talking about. But there's some weird stuff in the next episode. I'll put it that way. There's a weird scene. So this one, remind me really quick. This is where they're trying to kill the alien thing, or the.
Yes, they're trying to, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Father. Yeah, they have to kill the alien creature. It's not an alien. They're the aliens. It's indigenous to the planet, right?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. But it's about them fighting that they don't want to kill it. I found that kind of interesting, that whole idea that, like, none of them wanted to actually kill it, but because it made them, I don't know, to me it made at least some of the kids seem a little hypocritical, but it was interesting. I'm just trying to look exactly what all happened in this. Let's see. This is more about Tempest. Let's see.
So, I mean, there's this whole bit where Tempest asks Mother to put her baby into the incubator so she doesn't have to carry it, right?
Right.
And as Mother's working on it, we see a flashback where it turns out that the kids killed the embryo.
Okay. See, I didn't know
by
that happened
with
yet.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was interesting in the sense that it's obvious that Campion had, I guess I want to say, like, understood more at that point, like, because he has more of a moral side, because the fact that, like, he didn't tell his brothers and sisters didn't tell them what they actually did to, like, save them from feeling bad, I think was kind of interesting. I was looking, what's the rest? Oh, okay, there was the whole battle with Ambrose. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I was looking to see. I'm sorry that I got confused because I read it all
That's
before.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm all ready, and then I read the wrong one. But
That's
the thing about him hearing voices and stuff was in this one. So that was kind of my main thing I was saying. I think it's interesting that perhaps what they have been telling them all this time that they believed was totally fake, that maybe he's kind of seeing that side. So I found that part kind of interesting. Yeah.
AJ, you're speechless.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, you can.
Okay, because I don't know why you guys couldn't hear me before. But anyway, the one thing that last episode, episode 3, that intrigued me to even watch episode 4, once again, the last 5 seconds of the episode, Tally shows up, probably like Tally, and then she scurries off again. So it's the thing that I wanted to see.
I have no idea what you said. It's going
still
out.
But you broke up there. You broke up there. In the last 5 minutes of the episode,
Father sees Tally, and that was the only thing that I heard about
the
last week.
The other sibling, yeah.
What? Because, I mean,
Tally, yeah.
He was saying was the end of episode 3.
Yeah.
He was just
Yeah.
They ended two weeks in a row, they ended the episode the same way with Tally appearing for a split second. It's the only reason I even watched episode 4 to find out what's going on with that. And, I mean, because, I don't know, it's not holding my interest, and the fact that we can't remember anybody's names, and I'll tell you what else, Marcus's wife, whatever her name is, she takes me out of the seat. Okay, we'll call her Susan, sure. She takes me out of the scene. Every time I see her, she takes me out of the scene because that mullet has got to go.
The mullet is bad. The mullet is really bad, yeah.
I will say the part about Tempest eating that thing or ripping apart that thing was gross and strange. And
it was gross, and that was that whole storyline was, so I understand that they do need to eat it. There's no food, and these children are going to starve to death. And I did appreciate the part where Campion's like, we can't eat it, we can't kill it, we can't eat it. And the other kids are like, yeah, we can't eat any of the food on this planet. He's like, you know, like he can eat those,
but yet
those
they don't
roots,
want to kill it.
The carbos, because he's immune, right? But the
rest
of them, there's nothing they can eat. And they're like, yeah, we got to kill it. So I appreciate Tempest doing it.
Although you get so hungry that you're willing to, like, eat it raw is kind of like, I don't know about, but.
Well, I mean, I don't know if there might be more to that we'll see eventually, but, there's a part of me that could believe that she being pregnant and having, like, a maternal instinct to protect her unborn child might be more inclined to be like, look, we just got to eat, we just got to kill it. I don't know. And she had a weapon handy. She saw a weapon.
No, I get that, but eating parts of its guts a lot.
I know. And there might be,
animal.
There'll be more to be seen about that in the future. I don't know. But the part where Father's like, you guys have to learn how to kill it, like, I think that kind of made sense, but maybe Father could kill the first one and the kids could kill the second one they catch or something, right? Like,
yeah.
I appreciate Father trying to make them do that, and they do have, you know, he's a little more practical than Mother.
Right.
This episode was kind of about him feeling useless, but he's a little more useful.
Yeah, but she's like,
in some ways.
Like, she don't even care. But what was I going to say?
One of my problems with Mother increasingly in this episode, it reminded me how irritated I am that while she's a more powerful robot and a more powerful android, and I get all that, some of her powers border on magic. Like, how can she just say, sleep now, and everyone falls asleep? Or she just touches a wound with her finger and it's just healed. Like, there's a lot of, like,
they're human.
There's a lot of powers she has that are non-scientific and that appear magical to me. And she is supposed to be the embodiment of technology and atheism, right? Like, she's all technology, and yet, I don't know, I just feel like her powers, there's a level of her powers that are not, I mean, I want to say not realistic, but, I mean, of course the whole program's not realistic, but you guys know what I mean, right?
Right, but I have to wonder, though, would it have, like, she has, like you said, all this technology in her, and doesn't make sense she could do that, but I have to wonder, like, they used stuff like that robot guy when they had ripped off, or not ripped off, but changed their faces to the other people. Like, some of the stuff, like, he used closed up wounds and things like that. And I have to wonder if it was like a person with, like, an instrument that healed their wounds, maybe we wouldn't be saying that that seems like magic. It's more because she does it, like, with herself, like, just with her finger, as opposed to, like, using, because she is, like, the actual robot. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, maybe they should have had her use, like, some kind of tool or something. It might have seemed a little less weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It, like, this episode, I was like, really? Like, I'd love to see her, I don't know, mean. Of all the things to pick on, I don't know why that's the thing I chose, but it irritated me a little bit. She also rescued the little kid, Paul, who fell down the hole at the end of the last episode, right?
I'm really upset she didn't save the mouse.
The mouse is my favorite character. Mouse is the best character on the whole show, and I can't believe she didn't save it.
No, I was mad they didn't save the mouse, but...
I just continue, you guys, to think that these holes have to be, like, a major plot point that's not... Like, she looks down the hole, and it's glowing, right? And I just continue to be really surprised that these whole... Like, now that she knows she's a necromancer, she could totally fly down there and check it out. And I just think these holes look like they're man-made. There's something down there, and I more and more think the hole is, like, a thing. I don't know. I said that last week. I don't know if you guys agree with me.
Well, I can't say what I haven't seen. So I can't really say one way or the other. But
they have to be a thing,
because
why would they have them?
So. Yeah, I don't know.
I like this. I just, you know, I don't know. This storyline, just none of it's doing it for me. Like, why magical rock and, you know, how come the rock heated up, burned that one guy, but then it was okay?
There's a lot of magical things
on this planet that don't make sense. And I think there's maybe going to be more to those creatures than meets the eye. You know, I mean,
We talked about that. I don't think maybe they're like some kind of mutated humans or something. I don't know. That was just what I immediately thought for some reason.
Yeah, I remember you
saying
that
last week. I don't have a reason to think that.
What's her name there? Tempest? Is that it? The one that decided she was going to kill it and start eating it and then found a baby? Which was kind of interesting. Which kind of leads me to believe, you know, we keep saying, you know, how come these creatures just started showing up now? And I almost wonder if it could be because Mother, whatever she's been doing it or whatever's going on, somebody disrupted their nest and, you know, they're actually, you know, they're pregnant and trying to protect their young type of thing, which is why they're attacking now.
Yeah. I mean, the ending was really weird, where Tempest is like, it was a mother and we killed it, which kind of surprised me. Like, I know that, like, the premise of the show is about repopulating the Earth, but I don't know. But I think, to me, the big like, red flag and clue for the future was when like, okay, so it was really horrible that Father allowed so the girl who picks up the spear and stabs it, I was like, good for you. But then they let it suffer, and Father, like, allows the children to run off, and they're letting that thing suffer for a long time. And when Father talks to it, and Father says, at least you're not intelligent, death is way worse than you're intelligent. When you're intelligent, I'm like, oh, come on, you guys. You know that it's going to turn out that these are intelligent creatures. Just because they don't speak English doesn't mean they're not intelligent creatures and that it's going to, like, come back to haunt them, right?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying it kind of seems a given to me, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I didn't like that they did that either. But I think kind of the moment, like, when she has, the baby after she ripped it apart, though, it was kind of, like, creepy, shocking, like, and also sad. And she kind of connected to it, too, obviously, because she's pregnant. And it's like, okay, they just killed this thing when it was pregnant. So I don't know. That was weird at the end of
that. And any hunter in the world, like, hunters don't shoot. Like, hunting season does not occur during, like, the season when animals, like deer
right, but they
season
wouldn't
is not the season when they're having babies, right? Like, you wouldn't,
I never
like,
thought about that, but they wouldn't know it anyway. There's no way to know.
They wouldn't know it. There's no way to know that it was pregnant. But,
right.
I guess they're going to turn out to be intelligent creatures, and that's going to be, bad.
Probably going to be bad that they did that. Maybe they'll start
And if we continue,
them,
how many episodes is this?
This was four, this episode.
How many
are there? I think 10. I want to say 10. I've only seen 6, but I want to say there's 10.
So if we make it to 10, we'll find out.
Yeah, but there could also be another season. I mean, we don't know, so.
I don't.
Because it's been left open, I guess, from what the creators.
I mean,
I don't know.
Going.
I'm just going by what he said. Yeah.
At the rate we're going, I don't see how any of these people could live more than, like, 3 more episodes because they're all idiots and will get themselves killed one way or the other. Right?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
They really are, I mean, certainly the religious nuts. Unless Marcus gets control of those religious people, who I can't believe they're capable of winning a war. Like, the religious people won the war on Earth, right? But Earth was destroyed in the process.
Yeah, something
and
like
that. And they literally carry their leaders, or like, literally their leaders don't go into battle and get carried around on, I forget what the thing is called.
Yeah, it seems
like
they've regressed,
like
and this is in the future.
They do seem very, like, I mean, I joke that they look like they are dressed like Monty Python, but they're like the Crusaders from, like, ancient times, right? They dress like the Crusaders, they act like the Crusaders, and this sort of blind devotion to your religious leader.
Yeah.
I mean, and that a religious and a military leader are the same person is, like, seems like not a good way to win a war.
It makes it interesting, though, that this is set so far in the future, though, when it's got kind of, like, those throwbacks, you know. I think that that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that might be about all there is to cover. There weren't a lot of, like, deep, like, contextual things happening this week, right? I felt like it was a lot of, like, action being propelled forward a little bit more than meaningful kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have some more signs that Mother is messed up, like when she goes into the sim and she, you know, and it says, warning, not intended for Android, that she goes in anyway. Like, I think she has this little, like, wannabe human kind of thing going on, right?
Yeah. It's to me, though, it's kind of strange that, like, she can also connect to it when it was made for humans to connect and she's not a human. That I kind of question, like, how that...
No.
I mean, I don't know if it's relevant. I just, you know...
Although
I
it recognizes
that.
Her as an android immediately and says, like, not intended for androids. Not
but I guess, like,
androids.
Instead of going into, like, her memories, it goes into, like, her computer memory, I guess, maybe is just the difference.
Well, I mean, so we... When we saw humans go into it, that didn't happen. They had, like, an experience, but I guess because there were, like, dozens or hundreds
of
humans
kind
of
like a VR
so
thing.
They had right? Like Mother maybe was by herself in it.
That's true, too.
And there's no one else connected to it. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. Anyway, it's about that, I guess. We'll cover another episode next week. Or maybe two to try to. I thought they were only dropping one every week, but it looks like they dropped another at least.
I'm pretty sure it was two every week.
All right. Well, we'll get caught up next week.
Okay.
Right.
Well,
we can do that next
before
week.
You guys move on to your other show, I will talk. And I should have looked to see.
Yeah.
I believe only one episode dropped. I meant to check that. I should probably check that because you guys wouldn't know for third day if only one episode dropped or not. Let me write this down.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule because I don't want to. I mean, I'm not going to go into detail anyway because guys haven't seen it. But I was just curious.
No,
I know
go ahead.
One episode happened.
I've never even heard of it at all. So
no, well,
tell us about it.
It's. I think I'm pretty sure it's like one. Yeah, it looks like it's one. One episode a week. Well, it's an interesting way that they're doing the show, and I was interested in it right away when I found out kind of the different parts of it, the way they're doing it. Now, it has been changed because of COVID, because that, you know, affects everything. But the idea originally, which is partially what they did, is there's six episodes. There's three episodes at the beginning, three episodes at the end, and they're two different stories, but they're somewhat connected. And then there's like a live experience in the middle. Apparently, originally, they were going to let so many people, I don't know if it was public or what, but whatever, you could get tickets to it, and, like, they were somehow involved in the story. I don't know how that was going to work, but that part did not happen because of COVID. So instead, it's only the actors, but what it is in between, there's going to be a 12-hour continuous shot episode At least I think it's 12 hours. I was trying to confirm that, but it's supposed to be the whole day. It's real time. And it's going to be streamed live over the internet with the actors of this story, and it takes you deeper into the story and, I guess, connects the two separate sections a little bit better. And that's definitely something ambitious and I think something really cool. I'm curious to see how it pans out. But I've so far seen the first three episodes and then the first two of the second set, because they didn't actually send the finale. Why do they do that? It's like you get into it, it's like, now I don't get to know the end. They always do that. But I'm putting my review up on that tonight. It's coming a bit late. But it's an interesting story. It's very strange. As I said to you guys before, it's very, especially the first three episodes are very creepy. Now, I got freaked out, I think, more than anything because I watched it late at night by myself. So I suggest not doing that if things creep you out. But the second set isn't nearly as disturbing to me as the first set of episodes were anyway. But it's the first set stars Jude Law, and he goes to this island after some things happen to him, and he finds a girl that he saves, and it kind of – he ends up getting caught up in this island that they have, like, their own religion and traditions and everything that's very creepy. As I said, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Wicker Man, but it definitely makes me think of that. And there's, you know, like something sinister going on in the island. And the thing that they kind of do to make it freakier, I guess you'd say, and to make it, you know, more suspenseful is that it's connected. And I guess this is maybe a real place. I don't know. I was talking to somebody about it. But it's connected to the mainland by like a causeway. But when the tide goes up, you can't access the road. So, like, it's the tide's going up, and he can't go home, basically, and he gets stuck there, of course. But through the series, he finds out that maybe he's connected to some of the stuff that's going on, and it's just a very weird, creepy story. And then the second story is about a woman who takes her two daughters on vacation, and they end up at this place, and some crazy things happen. So, but, yeah, it's just it's definitely a mystery. It's definitely a very strange mystery. It's sort of sci-fi horror-ish. It's not, you know. But and Naomi Harris is the lead of the second set of episodes. And also, I have her name written here somewhere. The girl that is in woman, she's not a girl, but a woman who's in Fantastic Beasts. I'm going to call her the little name.
Which one?
Find her name.
The one who plays Samantha Morton.
No, the one who plays the main girl. I have it here in my review. I just got done writing. I'm looking for it. Catherine Waterston. I couldn't find
her. Oh, yeah.
She's in both sets. She's really good at it, too. And also, I keep wanting to call her Emma Watson. Emily Watson is in it, and who's I recognized. And Patty Considine plays her husband. I don't know. They're both really good, but they own the pub there, and they're like really creepy, like the rest of the people in this town. But anyway, it's got good cast in it. I think it was made really well. Like I said, the first episode, when I started watching it, I wasn't sure I liked it because it was so weird. But the more I got into it and seeing kind of how everything connected, it made me like it more. So I don't know. But the first, I kind of was creeped out at the beginning, as I said. But I definitely think it's worth watching. And I think that, like I said, the whole live thing I think is going to be really interesting. I want to see how that works. And the fact that they're shooting 12 hours. I couldn't confirm that part. But they're shooting in the day in real time, like one continuous take. I think it's really interesting because I read part of an interview with Jude Law where he was saying, like, when they eat, it's going to be in the story because they're not stopping. Like, they're actually doing the full day. And he said they might have to have a pit stop or something, and I guess he means do something else while people go to the bathroom. I laughed when I read that. But so anyway, it's one continuous take is the point of that. But it's definitely something different. So, and that's on HBO. But like
cool.
I said, that's been – it actually, the show was going to come out before. The whole thing was rescheduled because of COVID because they couldn't finish part of what they did and everything. And then obviously the live part had to be – pushed way back, so I think it's going to air on HBO Max too, I believe, which I think actually probably HBO Max has everything HBO has, so that may not be a surprise, I don't know, but it started yesterday on HBO.
Well, it makes sense that a lot of stuff is happening on these streaming things while I'm looking the networks, yeah.
Right.
So, well, I mean, I was concerned when you told me the first episode was too creepy, because I'm a way bigger horror wimp than you are, but maybe I'll check it out.
It wasn't, I will say this, it's not scary. It's just very creepy. Like I said, it's kind of like, it reminds me of Wicker Man. But this is the way I explained it to somebody else. Did you ever see the movie Colony, which is kind of like the episode of Arcadia in X-Files? Where, like, it's about, like, people in a town. That's not what this is about at all. But it's, like, people in a perfect town that, like, they have to follow the rules and everything and or bad things. It kind of, when I watched that show, as much as that show was not scary at all, it always gave me, like, this, not Arcadia, I mean the movie that it was sort of based on. It always gave me, like, this weird, I don't know, creepy, claustrophobic type, I don't know why. It just always gave me that feeling. And that is sort of what this did. Like, it's in this remote island that's, you don't know what's going on. Everybody, you know, they're like hiding something, and it's like this, there's probably like an underbelly or something to this island, and you can't leave. And I don't know. It was very, like, the atmosphere is done really well. But like I said, if I hadn't watched it, like, I don't know, when I watched the first one, like 1 o'clock in the morning or something alone, it might not have scared me so much. So there's that to take into consideration. All right. Well, that's about, I don't want to give away too much. Like I said, the one episode aired, but it's still, since you guys haven't watched it, and I don't know who has, I'll just leave it at what I said. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more next week. Maybe if you guys watch it, see what you think, if you want to, you know. All right. I am going to go. And, you know, I just happened to see something here on Google that, like, is in the little, you know, things you've looked at before. And I don't even know if I mentioned this before, if you guys even like it, but did you guys ever watch Leverage?
No, I know you used to love that show.
Yeah, it was really good. It's got, and this was released a while ago, but they've got a reimagining. It's kind of the same show, but it's got a little bit different cast because Timothy Hutton isn't in it, but it's the same characters, but the story's been redone or something. But it's still by the same people that made it, and I think it looks really good. I just happened to notice something about it, so I wanted to mention that. But that's not sci-fi, and it's neither here nor there. But all right. Well, I'm going to go then. I will catch up on the other show, I promise. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch multiple episodes to get there, but I have plans to do that, so. All right. Well,
all right.
Have a good night, guys. Have
fun
talking about the rest
of
the stuff. Night. Bye-bye.
Nighty-night.
Bye-bye.
All right, AJ. What's next?
So let's get 100 out of the way so we can end on the note.
The 100. Oh my God. I don't even know what I want to say about this. I feel so pointed, and I just don't see. Okay, so there was a whole bunch going on in this episode, and pretty much all of it was bad, but let's cut to the chase. Bellamy, Clark shooting Bellamy, right? It's so disappointing and so unearned and senseless, and I just don't see how the next three episodes can make me feel like this makes sense. I just don't know that this show can end in any way that is satisfying. I don't see any way they can make this make sense story-wise. It's unearned. It's bad writing. I think everything's wrong about it. I just disagree with it 100%. AJ?
I'm going to go back to something. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I'm going to go back to something I said back in season one, because technically I was right. I said, you know, I love the concept of the show. I love season one, the first three seasons pretty much. And I said it way back then. I said, they have to be careful with this show because there's only so much you can do with a story like that. If you keep it going too long, you're going to destroy it. They have fulfilled my prophecy. They've destroyed this show every season since The Bunker. It has gotten worse. She didn't have to kill Bellamy. She could have shot him in the shoulder. She could have shot him in the leg. She could have shot him anywhere but the heart. To get the book away from him, okay? And then she shoots Bellamy, runs out of bullets, and guess what? Left the book behind anyway. So what the hell is the point?
Yeah, I mean,
and why did,
so that's,
and why did they all have to go? Why did everybody have to go? What, you need two or three people to go reclaim your people? Maybe four people? Half the people? Whatever. You don't all need to go. All 10 or 8 or whatever of you that there were there, you don't all need to go. That's stupid. This has been nothing more. Nothing has made sense this whole season. Everything has been about people doing things to make something else happen. And that's bad. That's just, I'm sorry, it's bad writing. And the show has gone on for too long. Shortened seasons with, you know, 12, 13 episodes a season or not. This season has 16. We've got too many. There's not enough story to tell. There hasn't been enough story to tell. Everything is regurgitated. We've talked about this. We talked about it last season. You know, every season, you know, I mean, the first three seasons, we might not have liked Allie, but it was an original storyline for the show. You know, we were annoyed with Jaha and the Allie storyline, you know, but it was still entertaining and we understood it. Since then, everything has been regurgitation over and over and over again. The flame.
Yeah.
Somebody in the leader, you know, and they, you know, doing better, and they come to this world and they, you know, it's just, you know, the show.
All right, so let's put a pin in that for a second, because I'd love to talk about that some more. I do want to talk about some more, but so recap-wise, I mean, I'd love to talk about it because, you know, I think that almost nothing that happened in this episode made sense. And, I mean, who do you want to start with? Let's start with, so the only people that, so I do think, like, I did really like some of the Raven and Murphy and Amori stuff that happened character-wise. But story-wise, I don't know. So let's start with everything that happens in the throne room with Shadehata and Indra and everyone and all the battle. I mean, I did kind of appreciate that Shadehata's like, I'm Big Shadehata and I'm in charge here. And then Cadogan just has all of his invisible soldiers just like shoot all of Shadehata's guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank God
someone
put that loudmouth in his place. But what happened by the end of the episode? He's still alive.
Shadehata's still alive. I know. And that really irritated me because Indra won't kill him, but Clark can kill Bellamy? Heh?
Yeah. I mean, when is Indra going to kill him? Like, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for Indra to kill him, right?
Indra can't kill him because she's not the person that needs to kill him. Whoever they decided... You know what I mean? Like, I really think it's going to be Octavia. I believe it's going to be Octavia, which is why Indra can't do it, because that's not who the storyline wants to have it. Forget making
which is
sense
terrible.
And having Indra just end him. Yeah, exactly. And that's just, you know, it's doing something
Indra
to
needs to kill
their
him.
Story.
How
yeah.
many times has Indra
I
had the opportunity to kill him? Like, at least three previous times. Remember when they were going to kill him, like, before, and Clark was like, no, like, at least three times Indra has had the chance to kill him and hasn't because of whatever stupid storytelling reason. And now, like, she has a chance to kill him. I mean, I appreciate that. I don't really appreciate. There was this moment where she's like, I'll kill my enemy's enemy, and then I'll kill my enemy. And there's this moment where they're almost sort of working together to get, not almost, they are. And then, you know, how Shadehata sees the footprint in the blood and he's like, Indra, watch out! But for her to not kill him, first of all, we just had a conversation about a previous show where they stabbed an animal and then left it to suffer and we're like, that's terrible. And now on this episode, like, she's like, just let him bleed out. And I just can't believe that such a treacherous, like, why would Indra not kill him? I mean, you're right, because the show has dictated that someone else needs to kill him, which you think is... Who did you say is going to kill him?
I believe it's going to be Octavia.
Yeah, Octavia. Okay, yeah. I mean, I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance maybe... I guess not Maddie. Like, Maddie should have killed him. When they pulled that bullshit, that, like, Arya Stark business with Maddie jumping in the air, they should have let him get killed then.
Yeah.
For Indra not to kill him at this moment is such a such a disservice to her character and to logic and reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right? It's maddening.
Yeah.
Why would anyone leave this man alive?
Yeah, and somebody's gonna else is gonna die at the hands of Shit-Hater because of it. I can guarantee it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why leave him alive?
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are used purposefully just for the sake of the story, had you forgotten about the Red Sun,
yes.
I did until
yes.
this moment?
Yes. Yes, I had totally forgotten
about
the Red
Sun
and the toxin, and I didn't realize the Red Sun could happen at night, which also happens in this episode. It's night, but the Red Sun is still happening, right? And
they gave an explanation for it, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, and the bugs and all that. It felt awfully convenient that it hasn't happened since last season. It happened like when it first happened.
Once,
but wasn't it explained as like a cyclical? It was a cyclical thing that happens from time to time, and that's why they have all these barricades and force fields or whatever, right? And then it's never happened again until at the most convenient moment possible. That was horrible. That was horrible. And not really necessary. Like, maybe you writers could try to be a little more thoughtful and actually, you know. And then the reactor conveniently, like, the reactor fails at the most convenient moment. Like, that reactor, I can't even believe it's been working for, like, 100 years because it seems to fail at the most convenient moment all the time.
No, the reactor didn't fail. They shut, Amora
shut
it down.
They shut it down. They
shut
it down.
She turned off the power, which was a pretty smart move on her part.
Yeah. Let's talk about another horrible thing that happened that makes no sense at all. Baby Dioza. So Baby Dioza gets free, and she's going to kill Raven. And at the last minute, she says, oh, no, it's more punishment for you to live with it. I'm sorry, there is nothing I've ever seen in Nikki's character that makes me believe she would make that choice. Nikki she's an angry and impulsive and murderous character.
I completely agree. I thought Raven was done. And you know what? I was okay with it because Raven is probably the only bright spot for me in this episode, because her having those flashbacks to those men dying and the guilt she's felt all along, you know, everything from it and everything, admitting, you know, she sent them in to die because she's a coward and everything. I believed all that because that falls in line with Raven. It's the only thing that actually worked for me in the episode. And when she gets cornered by Nikki, I thought, oh, crap, Raven's done. But I'm okay with it because I'm like, there's three episodes left. It's a shitty way for her to go. But I'm good with it just because it makes sense. It makes sense to me. It might not be what I want to see, but it makes sense to me because Nikki is a cold-blooded killer that doesn't give two shits about anybody but herself. She wants Raven dead. She's going to kill Raven. And I'm okay with it because it makes sense. And then what do they do?
What?
She doesn't kill her, which doesn't make sense.
What is the point of having 300 of the most murderous, dangerous criminals the Earth has ever seen if they all act with humanity at the last minute, right? Like, Dioza converted, Baby Dioza converted, right? Like, hello. I kind of agree with you. I hadn't really thought about it. And while I wouldn't really like to see Raven die, I think it's earned. I think, you know, Raven is maybe the only character who's gotten away without killing a bunch of people in the last 7 episodes. Has Raven ever killed anyone? This is the first people she killed, right?
First time, yeah.
And I can see, you know, if the show is trying to, and apparently the lesson they're trying to talk to us about is, what are you willing to do to save your people, which they've been pounding in our heads for 5 seasons now. You know, Raven did something to save her people that she couldn't live with. And for her to be killed would have made a lot more sense than what we got, right? And meanwhile, Nikki is still alive. Like, why are these minor characters having major roles in the last season? Like, I don't even get why Nikki has to exist. There's that, right?
And one thing about Raven's storyline this season that, unfortunately, they've kind of touched on it and mentioned it, but they haven't really delved into it like they could have. Like, the thing is, early seasons had a lot of character development. and we had a lot of good characters and good character storyline that was going on with the action. These past couple seasons, it's been all about action and bad character development. So it takes away from the overall. Something they missed an opportunity here with, and mostly because they probably don't even care about it, but Raven, for the first time, she didn't physically kill somebody, but she sent somebody to their death. She made a hard choice and now can't live with it. And she has given Clark a lot of grief over the years for some of Clark's decisions. And so, you know, and now some of Clark's decisions were good, some of Clark's decisions were bad, but they were all for the greater good. Okay, good or bad, they were for the greater good. And she's given her shit over the years, and now Raven finally understands. And she even says to Clark at some point, you know, I think when they were in the living cave or on the living planet or whatever, she said something along the lines of, you know, I get it now, you know, I'm sorry for, you know, I can't make the tough decisions like you do, you know, you know. They could have gone so 3 or 4 episodes, you know, not the entire episode about that, but over an arcing period of Raven coming to grips and treating Clark differently and kind of, you know, those two kind of patching up and getting closer again, you know, with Raven having a new understanding. But they didn't. They didn't do any of that. It was a throwaway line, and now it's like, whatever.
That's a really, really good point about how there was a possibility for Raven to understand what Clark's actions for the last 7 years. And like Raven judged her. Raven has been pretty judgmental for a long time, right? And you could call her judgmental, or you could call her the moral conscience. You could call her the moral conscience of the show, or you could call her judgmental. But whatever, you're right. There was a good chance for her to be like, she did something that Clark has had to do over and over and over again. And what has it cost Clark, right? Like, I feel like the show is really lacking in this last season where they're talking about, like, you know, I'm getting kind of sick of this. What would you do to help your people survive? We get it. And we do see what it cost Clark, but when they had the chance to show what it cost Raven and for Raven to really understand what Clark or Octavia, right? I mean, we've seen what it cost Octavia when she became Blood Reyna. While we hated Blood Reyna, we did get to see what it cost Octavia to do that. And we haven't really gotten to see Raven, like, have that moment with her friends, and I guess we never will because there's 3 episodes left. All right, so before we go to the final, most horrible part, we talk about the Red Toxin again and the return of Josephine. I hated that so much. I don't really feel like Josephine's a character I need to... If there's going to be any character at all who's going to appear in a hallucination, is Josephine the one we want to see? I mean, I get that it was about Gabriel, but I don't know. I mean, you know that I also object to Gabriel being such a major character in this last season. Like, Gabriel, who was introduced last year, is basically getting as much screen time as... He's gotten more screen time than Clark or Bellamy or Octavia this whole season, right? And for him to have this moment with these moments with Josephine was, I mean, it was all playing up to an excuse for the flame to be destroyed, which
made no sense either.
I mean, the flame was destroyed already when Clark gave it to Bill, right? Like, we know the flame is already destroyed. Yeah. So for Gabriel to be like, I can fix it. No, I can't. So a little bit like time filling to me.
It was completely. He did fix it.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little second there. It was completely what?
I said he did shoot it, or he did fix it, and then he shot it, which made no sense. There was no point to it. It had 0 point to it. Because at that point, he did that. They could have overpowered the believers at any point. You know what I mean? They had the upper hand. But Clark was going through on her word, and then it made absolutely no sense. And not for nothing, what was the harm in letting him fix it? I mean, you know what? Not for nothing. I mean, I think he's full of shit, and he better be full of shit, because otherwise Clark just screwed Bellamy, and Bellamy was right. Bellamy can't be right. if Bellamy turns out to be right and this last four is actually a good thing, then our people are complete losers and Clark murdered Bellamy and he was right. So Bellamy can't be right, okay? What's the harm in fixing Blaine and giving it to him? There's no harm in it. He's not going to kill anybody or hurt anybody because of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to
fight
the last war to save all of humanity. You know, on the off chance they're right, let them go do it. They go their way, you go your way, it's over. Instead, he shoots the flame and makes it difficult.
Here's a flame, leave Sanctum, go do your thing,
sense.
Just leave us alone. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no point to it. So now we have to go to wherever planet he sent them on, and I'm saying it now, it's got to be Earth. They've got to be Earth. He's had to have sent them to Earth.
So it's Earth. It's Earth. First of all,
it's
you didn't see the promo for next week. It's totally Earth in the promo for next week. But
I did not see the promo, but I did see the title next week, and it's something like.
Oh, is it? I don't know. I don't know what the title is.
Even before, I didn't see the promo, and I mean, like, I felt like that when he sent them away that it was Earth. Because,
well, you and I have talked about it for a couple of weeks that we have thought that the final planet would be Earth and that they will eventually go back to Earth to live for the final episode, right? Like, you and I have talked about it a few times. We believe that planet is Earth and there's a stone on Earth somewhere. Question is, with time dilation, the way they're playing with it, when is that? But, I mean, it's not... I can't... I mean, there's the big elephant. All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Bellamy. Let's talk about Clark and Bellamy.
Yeah. I don't want to. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I feel like to have Clark, I mean, to me, it feels like it was done for shock value. And I have read a couple interviews with Jason Rothenberg, the showrunner, who says it had to happen to show that Clark will do anything, that Maddie is Clark's world and she'll do anything to protect Maddie. And I just feel like where they went wrong with it, if that's what had to happen, where they went wrong, one way they possibly went wrong is by not making Bellamy's betrayal believable. Bellamy's only become a disciple like two episodes ago, and it is not believable to me that he... I mean, we've talked about it. We don't believe that he... They just didn't set it up for us to believe that he became a believer. I mean, we saw Octavia and Echo and Dioza and... What's the daughter's name? The girl with the short hair? Dioza's daughter. Anyway, we saw the four of those women live on Skyring for 10 years and study to be disciples and learn everything and be tortured and brainwashed and fake it, and they're still not really into it. And Bellamy walks into a glowing cave for 2 minutes and he's totally into it, right? And so, I mean, we've talked about this. It's just not believable that Bellamy is a believer and that he would betray his friends in this way. And so, to me, it's unearned for Clark to have to shoot him. And then, in the end, Clark shoots him over a notebook. Like, Clark shoots him because of this ridiculous thing where... I know.
Well,
the
answers are in the notebook,
like...
because... What's her face? Maddie drew something she saw from the previous commanders in her head.
I know.
And she
actually holds
the key herself.
Right, but that's really poorly established, right? Like, we've only barely seen Maddie this season also. And she writes in the notebook. We don't really know what it means. Like, I just feel like it was all, like, thrown together and set up. And this idea of Maddie, I mean, I hate what they've done with Maddie. If she's got all the commanders in her head, I hate all of that. And it's very poorly set up for me to believe in this notebook or care about it. And then the worst part is that Clark shoots him for the notebook and then jumps through the portal without the notebook. So Bellamy, she shoots Bellamy for a notebook that she does not retrieve in the end. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and it's funny because she ran out of bullets, which you never run out of bullets in a TV show or a movie unless there's a reason behind it.
I am.
And you know,
she also, Clark shot him in the chest. She didn't shoot his arm or his hand. She didn't shoot to wound.
Mm-hmm.
She shot to kill, which to me also is not – I mean, what do you think Clark would have done in that situation? What would you like to have seen Clark do in that situation?
I think Bellamy's right when he says you're not going to kill me. As Clark, the Clark that we have known for most of the show would not have shot Bellamy in a million years, not even for Maddie. The problem is they have turned Clark into Abby. And let's keep, you know, something I want to point out, because it's been a while, is Abby wasn't like this either at first. Yes, Abby wanted, I mean, for crying out loud, she sent her daughter to the earth and not knowing if she's going to live or die. And then and then somewhere along the way, Abby started making all these terrible decisions to protect Clark, who did not need her protection. Okay?
Yeah.
Maddie, yes, she is younger. Maddie does have a bullseye on her head. Okay, I get that. But Clark, they just turned Clark slowly into Abby. And it's just it's poor writing. It really, really is, you know. And I mean, you know, it's funny. I don't know who listens to us or whatnot or anything. But I'm sure there's people out there that are like, "Who are you guys to judge these Hollywood people?" Thing. And yes, it is just our opinion. And there's lots of people out here that out there that love the show and think they've done a great job with it and everything. I guess the bottom line is for you and me who really, really, really appreciate a good character-driven show, and any show, even shows we really like a lot, there are times where we're like, that's really not the character, you know? You can't to keep a long time entertaining somebody, and it's difficult. It's been 7 seasons, you know, I don't know how many episodes there's been exactly, but they've got to be close to 100 episodes.
I know, look, I appreciate what you're saying, and there were moments that we loved on this show and seasons that we love, but I got another thing to complain about before we move on, which is the way they left Bellamy's character when he, like, okay, setting aside that Clark shooting Bellamy and killing him is just ridiculous and not believable, the way they did not do right by this character. For Bellamy to die in this for nothing and in opposition to his friends, like, look, I could totally accept Bellamy dying to save his friends. Or for Bellamy to be like, Clark, take the notebook and get shot by someone else. Or Bellamy has always been the emotional heart of the show. And he, like, while Clark does mm-hmm. what she thinks is right for the people, Bellamy does what's right in his soul, you know, and for Bellamy to betray his friends and turn away in this unbelievable fashion and then to die really for nothing. Like I kind of expected him to come around, right? And to he's the one who has to oppose this whole Bill Cadigan thing of like personal connections are the worst, right? Like the whole cult thing is like, you can't have personal connections and love is bad and it weakens us. And you like, it's actually kind of what
yes.
we saw on Raised by Wolves this week in general.
Bellamy
is supposed to be the one, right? Bellamy's the one who's like, love is important.
Bellamy needs to be the one to be standing next to Bill in the final episode at the last moment. And it looks like Bill's, whatever his grand thing is going to be, is going to, coming to fruition, and Bellamy, seeing his friends in peril, turns, looks at Bill, picks him up over his head, and throws him off a cliff. Sorry. That's Return of the Jedi. Sorry, never mind. That's Return
right.
of the Jedi.
Right. this show is bordering on, like, you know, they talked about how, at the end of Lost, mm-hmm. the creator said, like, love is the answer to Lost. Well, I think they're moving towards a point where love for your friends and your family is the answer to the show, because Bill Cadigan is the opposite of that. And Bellamy's the guy, as you said. Bellamy's yeah. supposed to be the guy who's like for Bellamy to die in this way and to have joined a cult and not, it just does not do right by the character. I feel like they really owed Bellamy better than to die this way.
You know,
I'm also outraged that he had no goodbye with Octavia.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Who we haven't
and
seen
I
in
think,
three episodes.
Right. And so we're going to have to, so we're going to see Clark have to tell Octavia and Echo that she killed Bellamy. And that's going to be bad. But I don't care about Clark and Octavia. Clark and Octavia, okay, they're friends. But Octavia and Bellamy, like, what? How could they deny us, like, Octavia and Bellamy having any kind of moment for the last, like, two seasons?
Well, you know what's going to be really bad that we're going to have to deal with is Echo. Echo and Clark are going to go at it. I can see it already. It's going to be bad.
Yeah, you know what?
And
I don't care about that. Is that what I was seeing in the last three episodes?
No.
I don't really care about Echo that much. Yeah.
I agree. That's my point. We're going to have to deal with something else that we don't care about.
Yeah. I'm really, you know, I was just telling someone the other day to watch The 100 and to stop at the end of season 5. and
before that.
But I went on to say, like, I told the story about how you and I for the past like three seasons probably have been like hate it, and then they nail the season finale. And
nail
then we're
the
like hate it, and then they nail the finale. And I don't think they can nail this finale.
I don't care if they do. It's not gonna make me feel any better about the show.
No, and I think the more and more we get about the flame and Bill Cadigan and how Maddie has this stuff in her mind, I think the show is more about setting up the spinoff, which is, again, you know, as you said, they're in service to other things besides these characters and the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're looking to set up the other show, then they're not doing right by this. I hadn't thought about that.
But, you know, it's
so,
the thing... Killing the moment she actually killed Bellamy, immediately I thought to myself, you know, and we're never going to know, you know, the truth about behind the scenes and whatnot. I feel like, you know, and nothing against Bob Morley, he's done the best he can with it and everything, you know, and he, you know, but I feel like Rothenberg let his actors dictate the like I don't know what his grand scheme story or how he originally planned it, whatever, but with Bob Morley being gone, 90% of this show, of this season, okay, I think it really, I mean, it hurt the show greatly, and I almost feel like there's something behind the scenes that we don't know about that created a rift somewhere along the way. Is the true reason for Morley not being around? Because it just, none of it makes sense. I thought we were going to at least have Bellamy till the end. And so we got Bellamy for what? Three episodes? This entire 16 episodes, we got Bellamy for three?
Yeah.
What creator in his right mind is going to take the, you know, and Bellamy's a unique character. Lots of the characters have very similar characteristics and act similar to each other. Bellamy stands on his own. The closest nuanced person to Bellamy might be Raven, but it's a different dynamic, especially since Bellamy is connected to the two leading ladies. He's connected to both of them, you know? I mean, you can even throw Echo in there now. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah.
With our core ensemble, our OGs and the important characters that came after, you can't get rid of Bellamy and have
I would rather have seen a far more simplistic storyline where he was just on this other planet and fighting to get back to them, and he gets back and he has their back and he's at their side, and like this transformation of him, it just makes no sense. Like, for Clark to have to shoot Bellamy because he betrayed her makes no sense. Like, if I could think of any of the reasons why Clark might shoot Bellamy, him betraying her is not one of them that I would have at this point. Maybe
five,
but not right now.
It's honestly, I don't even feel of it as really that much of a betrayal. Okay, Bellamy is believing in this, which makes no sense. But what real true betrayal did he do? What, because he told them the truth about the flame? Okay, that's all been rectified.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
no.
No. It's just not.
Well, it's set up to be the notebook. The notebook, which, let's face it, it's a MacGuffin, right? The notebook is a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
And Clark shot Bellamy over a MacGuffin, and she didn't even retrieve it in the end. I mean, for her to shoot him and then not get it is ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Like, could she, like, it just drains Bellamy's death of any meaning. And so I know that in life people die with no meaning. There are senseless deaths all the time in life and in the world, but I'm not watching TV for this reason. I'm watching TV to put some sense in my life, right? Like, for him.
And there was no nuance with Clark. You know, I didn't see any struggle with her. It was just Bellamy, give me the book. All right, you're not going to be the book then. Like, Clark doesn't do that. I've seen Clark go, you know, worry about killing somebody. All right, Russell. She wouldn't kill Russell.
Yeah.
Russell needed to
Russell.
Die. She wouldn't kill Russell.
Russell needed to die forever.
She went back and forth over that, left and right. But Bellamy, she can just make the split decision to kill him. Get the hell out of here. I can't anymore.
Yeah. Or look at, like, when Clark killed Finn, the man she loved. She killed him to alleviate his suffering, right? And because he had to be killed, and she did what had to be done.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Clark to kill Bellamy to get that book, like, I believe Clark would protect Maddie. I don't really enjoy the way they have infanticized – can't really say this word. They've made Maddie more of a child. Like, Maddie was the commander, and now Maddie's a helpless child again, except Maddie's like 15 and been the commander. And they've reduced Maddie to like this. If Maddie was 5 years old right now, I would kind of get it more. But Maddie's a teenager who's been the commander, and they suddenly like reverted her to be this little tiny kid with a golden retriever. And Clark, look, I get that Clark would protect her, and I get what you said earlier about how they're making her more like Abby, trying to protect a child who maybe doesn't need protection. Clark shot Bellamy to protect Maddie in a way that, like, makes zero sense. Maddie, 3 episodes ago, went through the air to put a knife into Shay Hader's back. Right? So is she Arya Stark, or is she a helpless baby? We got to stop. We're both so mad about this, we can rant about this for the next hour and not talk about a better program.
But Maddie's become a plot device. Remember how we were watching
the show? AJ, you're breaking
no
up.
No real...
Yeah. You're talking about Maddie being a plot device, and I agree with you.
Yeah. Just like the NBC show with the robot girl, and we kept saying all the time how she felt more like a plot device than an actual character.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I felt like Dioza's daughter, I have a mental block against Dioza's daughter's name. Her name is Hope.
Hope.
Like, Hope, really, I felt like Dioza's pregnancy was a plot device. But Hope managed to not be a plot device. Like, Hope managed to be a character that really like what they showed with motherhood with Tioza and with Octavia really as her surrogate mother, and Echo to a certain extent is like her auntie and a surrogate like mother maybe also. Like, what they showed with those women and making a family and motherhood, like, was really well done. And then Clark and Maddie, they've really ruined in these last couple of years. And I don't feel like the way that Dioza sacrificed herself for Hope, I mean, I didn't love it, but I got it, and it felt like in character. I don't know if we had seen Dioza shoot Octavia to save Hope, or if we'd seen Octavia shoot Dioza to shoot Hope, I might have believed either of those scenarios. I just don't really see, I just don't buy Clark shooting Bellamy to save a notebook. The notebook. The fact that the notebook was left behind. I'm sorry, Jason Rothenberg, if you just had Clark grab the notebook, I might feel a little bit better about it. The fact that Clark left the notebook behind is so bad. And by the way, did you consider at all that Bellamy could still be alive, which would be even more infuriating, right?
No.
But
I just didn't pretend he was alive.
So Bob Morley. Bob Morley said goodbye on his Instagram. He posted a goodbye to Bellamy, and Rothenberg has given some interviews indicating that Bellamy is in fact dead. So there's none of this like Bellamy back to life business.
Right.
Thank God. Right. I can't think of a character who was done wrong this badly. Actually, I can. I read a couple of reviews. In particular, I would like to mention the review on, I want to say that it was maybe Entertainment Weekly, who compared Bellamy to Daenerys Targaryen in the way that he was let down by the writers. And I have to say, I kind of agree with that.
I think Bellamy was worse.
Really?
The problem with Game of Thrones, they rushed it. I think they rushed it with Game of Thrones. We didn't get to see the arc descending into madness. Bellamy got done dirty.
Yeah, it's bad. All right, so we've been ranting for a long time
episode,
now.
Yeah, no. The episode is called A Sword of Homecoming, which is probably like, yeah, the hell is going back to Earth, even without...
The Sword Behind what? The next one's called The Sword Behind the Throne? What's it called? Oh, I don't hear you, AJ. Did I lose you?
Can you hear me? What's going on?
Yeah, there you are. What did you say the next episode is called? The Sword...
No, A Sword of Homecoming.
Oh, yeah, because in the promo, they appear to be back on Earth.
Earth, yeah.
Hard to say, but it looks very... Remember when they first went to Earth and they landed with Tree Crew and there was all the sparse and everything? That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Oh, Remor.
That's what would happen. We know that's not a surprise to us. Remor.
No, we knew we'd done it.
Okay. If you're listening out there in podcast world, 3 more weeks of AJ and me hating this show, and we'll see what happens.
I'm afraid. So, all right, on to Lovecraft.
All right. Let's talk about Lovecraft Country. How do you like this week's episode? Wow.
Every week gets crazier, and I love it.
It was by far, I think, the bloodiest and goriest episode that we've seen.
Oh, God,
right?
Yeah.
And also the most sex that we've seen. I think this episode had the most, there's always sort of like a theme or like a lesson, but this episode was like, the theme of metamorphosis was like in your face every single moment, I think.
Yeah.
So what'd you think? How'd you like a Ruby-centric episode?
You know, I wasn't sure what to expect with a Ruby-centric episode. That was some pretty crazy shit. Like, I love her. Like, I love how easily she accepts that there's magic in the world. You know, she's like, there's magic in the world? Okay.
yeah.
But I really enjoyed, you know, her arc, you know, being transformed into a white woman and seeing the other side of things and I especially enjoyed the scenes with her and the other girl that works at the store, because it becomes pretty apparent that Ruby, who, while being better qualified for the position, was passed over, not because she was black, but because she wasn't as good looking as the other girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I you know, I thought that was, you know, and I mean, that's true, unfortunately, even in today's world. But I really enjoyed her interaction, as, you know, playing as the white character, White Ruby, as I call her. And then when she, you know, figured out that the manager was up to, you know, hitting on all the women and everything, I thought that was wonderful. I didn't see it coming the way it went down, but I thought that was great. She took the heel and was stabbing him in the ass with it.
Yeah.
Just cracking up the entire time.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And I'll say, I mean, and cinematically, I mean, with the skin dripping off of her like that, like, there was actually a couple of times where I kind of cringed a little. I was like, oh, man. Like,
yeah, the effects were great there.
Very well done. The effects were amazing with the Ruby part of it.
Well, I kind of like, so I want to be careful how I phrase this because I don't want to be dismissive, but I kind of, so Ruby, you know, she takes, basically, I kept thinking of Polyjuice Potion. Do you watch the Harry Potter films or read the books?
I've seen
You know, Polyjuice Potion. So, you know, in
yes.
Harry Potter, they drink this potion that allows them to take somebody else's appearance. And I'm like, oh, Polyjuice Potion. Anyway, she takes the Polyjuice Potion, and she becomes white, and she gets out and about, and really, the first day, she really enjoys being white. And, like, day after day, she, you know, eventually Ruby has some other, I mean, I don't want to, also being a woman is difficult. Like, when we see that you know, the manager is going to rape Tamara in the alley, I mean, yeah, it's probably because he's white and she's black, but it's mostly because he's a man and she's a woman, right? And I think Ruby makes a remark about, like, being black and a woman, you know, which is worse. And I'm not trying to minimize what Ruby's experience being white. And I don't want to say that being white is not all that and being a woman is worse, because it's not. But you know what I mean? That, like, there's multiple levels in this episode where she becomes white, but she's still a woman. And Montrose, who's a man, and being a man is in this time and place far better than being a woman, but he's gay, so he's not able to really be his, like, there's just so many levels of people not being able to, like, be themselves, and so many levels of discrimination, being black, being a woman, being gay, being this, being that, like, there's just so many levels of oppression that they have to climb through. It's so disheartening sometimes, right? And Ruby, I guess Ruby, like, being white didn't make Ruby less sympathetic to, you know, like we see the girl that got the job, her name's Tamara, right? The girl who beat her out for the job. Ruby lectures her.
Yep.
Ruby lectures her on, like, if you want to be a credit to your race, you've got to do better than this. Like, Ruby's trying to, like, being, I don't know, being white doesn't make Ruby forget what it means to be black, I think, in these scenes, right? I mean, I thought it was a great episode, and I was kind of surprised, because I thought when Christina asked Ruby to do a favor for her, I was certain it would be going into Letty's house and doing something and trying to steal that orrery. And then it turns out that it's not a favor that has anything to do at all with Letty, which is not believable, right? Like, when Ruby says to William, there's any number of black girls on the south side you could get, and truly, how hard is it to place that little thing in the house? They didn't need Ruby to become white and then do that. There's obviously a bigger plan here, right? Like, you could have gotten anyone to put that little... Like, Christina could have done it herself. Particularly
well, no,
if you have Polyjuice Potion.
Been there.
But Christina, could Christina not turn black? Like, she has Polyjuice Potion.
This is very true. She was William. Holy shit, didn't see that coming.
Oh, holy shit. Holy shit, I did not see that coming. I figured it out 5 or 10 minutes before it happened. So I figured it out when Christina said to, maybe 5 minutes early, when Christina says to Ruby, oh, you're Ruby interrupted. And Ruby says, oh, William told you that? And that moment I was like, oh my God, of course they're the same person. They look identical. And this whole time I've been thinking they're brother and sister. No, they're the same person, right? And it came to me so probably 5 minutes earlier than it actually happened. Huge. I'm so glad I didn't figure it out. I love having that moment of being like, holy cow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally didn't see it coming. Like when William came in, he started transforming. I was like, what the hell? I was like, William isn't William. And then I was like, oh, my God. And then she stood up and I was like, wow.
Oh, my God. I'm kind of
transforming.
I'm kind of so jealous of you that you didn't get it till the last moment because you got to experience that. I only got it 5 minutes before when I was like, oh, my God, that's the same person.
You know, I actually enjoy it. It's actually funny because I do figure things out so much.
Yeah.
It's a really weird sensation when I.
Yeah. Were you watching with Artie? Did he also not get it to the last minute?
Yeah. No, he didn't get it either. We both at the same time were like, holy shit.
Yeah. When Ruby was like, what's in the basement? What's in the basement? And then she's like, oh my, and she's like, says, oh, you're interpreting. I was like, oh my God, that's why they're in the basement. They keep changing in the basement. They're changing in the basement. And then on TV, did you see when William changed to Christina, in the background, the TV is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Running on the black and white TV.
Yeah,
and
I noticed
that. And I was, yep. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is it.
I,
so,
I did catch that.
Yeah. Which, you know, Chris, it makes sense. And as I texted you, I bet people on Reddit figured it out like 3 weeks ago because Christina never stops bitching about men and like, you know, how she was born a man, she would have this ability.
And you know what's funny actually is in the scene that she gives Ruby whatever the heck she wanted her to plant, you know, I thought, and she says, you know, she's like, this guy is taking something that's rightfully William's place and everything. And I was like, okay, now I'm learning a little more about William. For a million years, like, she was talking about herself. You know?
Oh, no, but, I mean, William might have been a real person. Here's the thing.
Well, yeah.
When Ruby turns into a white person, you know, the actress is that same person who was in the second episode in the village with the dogs, right? Did you recognize her? Yes.
Yeah, I did
realize
that.
Right. So Ruby always turns into this woman that she's never met, but Christina has met. So do you think do you think that Christina can only, like, the Polyjuice only works for people that Christina knows? And so, who is William then, right?
Someone that she can model them after. It's possible. I hadn't thought about that. But, you know what I like what you said, though, and I hadn't really thought about it, is there more to her picking Ruby? Because she could have had anybody do that. I hadn't really thought about that, and so you said that. So it could be interesting, or is it just because they're keeping the character?
She didn't need Letty's sister to be a waiter at the party, right? Anybody?
Yeah, I hadn't thought
that.
About that.
Frankly, Christina could have turned into any black person that she had previously known or killed,
herself, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, I really thought when William said, "I need a favor." I assumed it was going to be go to Letty's house and get the orrery.
Yeah.
I can't say it. Orrery.
Which
right?
isn't even at Letty's house. Which isn't even at Letty's house anymore.
But, I mean, I think everybody thought that. You thought that also. It was a mission inside Letty's house, right?
Yeah, that was my initial thought.
Oh, can we talk about what happened when Ruby goes into that office? Holy shit.
Yeah, that was weird.
So much about it was weird. So the guy in the closet, holy shit. The guy in the closet made me think of, do you remember on American Horror Story Coven when Kathy Bates played that terrible woman from New Orleans who abused all of her slaves and kept them in the attic and mutilated them and shit? Remember that? Her name was Madame somebody.
Yep.
And it reminded me of that. Here's a guy in the closet. His tongue is cut out. He looks like he's been cut and stitched up. Like they are torturing him over a long period of time.
Yeah.
To the point where there's a smell of infected and stuff.
Yeah. There was definitely some creep and gore factor in this episode.
But, yes. And did you catch what else was going on in that office when the guy changes his shirt? I don't know if are you speechless or do I not hear you? That when the sheriff takes off a shirt, his skin is black. He has a black man's body and a white man's head. Although his hands were kind of white also, right? Did you catch that? Did you see that? I don't hear you. Maybe speechless.
I don't, yeah, I
again.
Missed that. No, I'm.
Oh, you missed that? Oh, you got to go back and rewatch it, AJ. So the whole part when he's like, hey, go get me my shirt, and Ruby's watching, he takes off his shirt. And at first I was like, wait, does he have tattoos all over his whole shoulders and body? And I looked more closely, and his skin, he's black. Like, I don't know I was like, is he black and he's bleaching his skin? Was he black and he's got a white man's head, like, transplanted onto his body? Like, I don't know, but he had a black torso and upper arms. And only his head and hands were white. So I don't know what that's about. Given that he's not allowed to really, you know, he's not of the bloodline, and he's a big white supremacist, I have no idea what's going on there. AJ is speechless again.
And
not
really
you've
sure
gone
about
back to
that
watch
one.
It. You've gone back to watch. You've got to go back and watch it. The skin on his body
right
is
now.
Black. Yeah. Yeah. Watch it while we're talking about it and then come back to it. That, to me, was like a huge moment that is almost, it was so passed over, and I don't know if it's going to be a thing or if it's just like we're supposed to just accept it as a weirdness of these people and we'll move on to whatever is happening. It could be. I mean, this show could possibly scoot over that because there were like other huge things happening this week. Character-wise.
Finding out that Montrose is actually gay, which we talked about last week, which we thought was just what's-his-face trying to get under his skin. Turns out it was actually a thing.
Well, I mean, we kind of knew that Sammy and Montrose maybe, but to find that Montrose was like, yeah, to see them at this level of involvement was a big revelation, I think. I mean, we can't, like, we suspected it, right? But to see it confirmed and to the level that it was, and I don't just mean the sex scene, but I mean that Montrose is hanging around with, like, to turn out that Sammy's a drag queen and doing ballroom.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fantastic, ballroom scene, and they acknowledged that this was going on. Like, it didn't just happen with Pose in the 80s. But that Montrose is he's not just on the down low with a man, but that he's actually hanging around in this drag environment, right? It was pretty cool, I thought. I thought the acting was fantastic. I thought the guy who plays Montrose did a really great job. I think it explains a lot of Montrose's being closed off and self-loathing and all that. And I kind of love the scene where he, you know, in the ballroom, he sort of comes into his own, like he finally, it's almost like he kind of accepts
yeah.
it, although he probably won't. It's not like he's going to go around and be like, I'm gay now, right? He's not going to, like, be openly gay, but.
Yeah. I don't know why, but to me, it was even more powerful with his swollen eye from Tick beating the crap out of him. Which we got nothing this week about why he murdered her. You know, I mean, it's gotta come back around. We've gotta find out why he slit
her
throat.
Why Tick murdered his girlfriend in Korea? Why Montrose murdered Yahima?
Yeah.
Because you know what? The explanation that he's trying to protect Tick is wearing thin, right?
Well, I also think
we both think
that Montrose knows a lot more about what's going on than we've gotten information on because he read the manual of the Order of the whatever.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that all of his actions are beyond protecting Tick, because I think that, you know, we have this, like, ongoing storyline of, like, he abused Tick. You know, so Montrose was abused as a child. He abused Tick as a child. We get that cycles of violence is a thing that we see on the show. But I think that it's beyond just protecting Tick. Maybe he knows more. Maybe it's about protecting all of humanity. Maybe it's about protecting himself. Start protecting, I don't know, but he definitely knows more. I'm actually getting a little tired of it. It's only 5 episodes now, but I'm a little tired of Montrose knowing more and not letting on. Do you remember when, like, Letty yelled at him, like, 2 weeks ago and was like, you know so much, I want to see that again because he needs to start talking.
Yeah. So I just went back and watched the scene with the sheriff. And I think the reason I missed it the first time around is because when he first takes his shirt off, you're seeing it through the slats in the closet. So it kind of just looks like he has a tattoo or something on him. But and when they get a little closer, he's buttoning the shirt. But something I did notice, and again, I think I looked away maybe when I was watching it the first time around, which is why I didn't really notice it at all. There's stitches between the lines. There's like, it looks like stitches where the white and the black.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's like a transplanted head or a transplanted body or something, right?
Yeah, something. I would have to say body simply because I think he's definitely a white man because of, you know, Tick's allowed in the society is because of his heritage. No other black man would be allowed. So I definitely think I'm sure it's going to come around. We're going to get more information about it, but
it's some crazy shit, huh?
So speaking of Tick, we get this time he calls whoever this woman he's been speaking to in Florida is, and asks her how she knew. And we see on his piece of paper that he's figured out, he wrote guy. So I don't, a lot of the Tick stuff this episode, the Tick episode, like it focused a lot on him and Letty and their, you know, coming to terms with having a relationship and their different views on how to deal with things and everything. And Tick losing his friggin' mind earlier in the episode. You know, but the whole time he's you know, trying, deciphering this code or something. They didn't really focus on it enough. Like, I was kind of confused by what he was doing at points in the episode, like, what he was trying to figure out. And then when we finally get some semblance of something, we see Di, and he calls whoever this person is in Florida that seems to know things. Which, we gotta learn about that soon, I would.
Yeah, so I thought that maybe when he said to Letty, look, the initials of my ring, they're my initials, Atticus, whatever, blah, blah, right? And I thought at the end maybe he meant that the initials say die. They don't say that, whatever. But, I mean, this woman that he was in love with in Korea, we saw that he had a hallucination about her when he was in the manor like 3 weeks ago, right? And then he called her like 2 weeks ago. So when he calls her and he says, how did you know? How did you know? What are you? I think she's also some kind of a witch or sorcerer or something like that, right? Which is surprising because the people of Adam, the descendants of Adam, they're very white supremacists. And they would not allow a Korean woman to be part of them. So she might come from a different magical tradition or something?
Yeah, she'd be from something else, obviously.
Although from what Tick says, how did you know, it sounds like maybe she targeted him. Like, he thinks he was in love with her.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was in love with her, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, what was it? Episode, was it the first or maybe the second episode when she calls him and tells him not to – I forget what that – she told him not to go, I think.
Yeah.
Or I think she told him he shouldn't have left in the first place.
I mean, he's called her now twice, I think, and he knows her phone number. Like, today he's like, he calls, in this episode, he calls and he's like, 555-123-400, blah, blah, blah. Like, he rattles off the number. He knows her number.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been home long. I think the show takes place in 1954, so he's only been back from the war, like, what, like 1 or 2 years, but still. I'm not in love with getting an episode next week that's a total flashback, but I do kind of like the idea to see that, you know, Tick has this magical bloodline that he never knew about and maybe been going on that he didn't realize.
Yeah. So... Well, I think we've covered it all.
No, I mean, I did really like it, but I think that's clear from our conversation. Great episode.
Yes.
The best thing we watched this week. And it will be for a couple of weeks as we watch some other.
Yeah.
Are
you going to continue to watch Raised by Wolves, or are you done with it?
I mean, I think it's pretty bad. I might watch it because A, nothing else is on, and B, like, I don't know. We can still cover it because there's nothing else to cover. But I think it's kind of bad. And I don't really see great reviews happening.
Yeah, I haven't decided yet. Like, Artie's intrigued enough that he wants to continue watching it all the way through. So I might just continue to watch it with him.
I mean, I feel like if I got to see the necromancer annihilate more stuff with her eyes and her voice, then I would be more into it.
you just love the necromancer part. You'd watch an entire show just with her flying around blasting things.
It's the only good part. At least it's visually and at least it's like a nutso thing that's going on.
Visually
it's the only
cool.
thing that I'm like, all right, something happened. Yeah, everything else is white and gray and washed out and colorless and boring. At least she's like, and kills people.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And I told Artie your comment about the holy people looking like they stepped out of Monty Python. He thought that was hilarious.
Oh, good. I'm not the only one. I think we should go
last week. I thought it was great.
So I think let's still watch it because, you know, Jamie and I are maybe going to pick up a little Walking Dead in the fall. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's like now like 1 million, there's so much Walking Dead going on, but there's the new series starting in the fall. And maybe we'll give that a shot. Walking Dead. The little kid Walking Dead is starting. Not little kid, but the tween Walking Dead is starting.
All right. Another successful week of Fandom Access, and we'll do it again next week. with the same three shows.
I promise to restrict my complaining about the 100 to 20 minutes next week.
I don't.
Okay, no promise. All right. In fact, no promises.
Yeah. We always talk about, you know, not complaining too long, and then we just get so irritated that we do.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And come back and listen to us again next week. Have a good night.
All right.
Have a great week, Karen.
Good night, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.